very strongly united with your people's heart in Jesus' name. Anoint the ears, anoint the lips to create wonderful life in Jesus' name. Amen. So if you will, open your Bibles up to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. As a pastor, one thing that you always deal with when you're pastoring is, why are some believers allowed to go home before their time? You struggle with it all the time. People think differently. Everybody has a different perspective to things. But you know what? I want to say this. Thank God for the Word of God. Because it has one perspective and one interpretation. Now you can get a lot off of the Word of God. But basically what it boils down to is, God has not left us in the dark as to what to do with our life and how to succeed in it. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, my subject today is going to be forgiveness. Forgiveness. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 14, "For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judged that if one died for all, then we're all dead. And he died for all, that they which live should not live, or should not henceforth live unto themselves." I want you to underline that they should not live unto themselves. We are living more and more in a church society that is living too much to themselves and not for one another. We're seeing it more and more. Now, I can't remember, it's been so long, I hope I get the story straight, but I remembered certain things about what was shared with me. Years ago, in Eugene, Oregon, we were on the radio, and a friend of mine, he's a pastor friend of mine, we were driving in the car one day, and he began to tell me some things that kind of shocked me. But he began to tell me a story about a minister who got on the radio and wanted Christians to call in, and he didn't expect much of a call in, but he wanted to talk to Christians who seemingly had come to the conclusion that they no longer sin. So he thought, well, nobody will call in on that program. Because, you know, Christians can't be that stupid that they've actually gotten to a place in their life that they no longer sin. The phone ran off the hook. And as he was listening to the radio, many of them were saying that, no, they do not sin. They've actually arrived to a place they no longer sin. And he was shocked. But you know what he said? He said, everyone that called in no longer attend a local church. And their testimony was that they had gotten so freed from sin that they could no longer tolerate believers that were in sin. And so they left. And you know, you and I laugh about that, but my friend said he was shocked at not only what was said over the radio, but how many people called in to give that testimony. Now, I shook a few people up by giving an interpretation of 1 John chapter 5. So I want to cover this passage right here in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 first. Then we're going to go to that passage and we're going to talk about forgiveness. What is forgiveness? Well, first of all, he says in verse 14 here, Paul, "For the love of Christ constraineth us." This is a very interesting Greek word. This one means to hold on to something continually with intensity. To hold on to something with intensity in a continual state. So literally, this particular word means a connection. It means to be connected to something with an intensity that you will never think of ever letting go of. It's something you end up owning. It's something that you own with an intensity. And Paul was saying it is the love of Christ that compels him to do that. You know, if we're going to walk with the Lord, we've got to come to that one conclusion that once we have been raised from the dead, we are no longer to live to ourselves. A lot of us don't really realize this statement. Now, why did Paul say that? Well, he said, first of all, because we have come to this conclusion or sentence or judgment that if one died for all, then, notice this, he says, we're all dead. You know, a lot of us don't understand who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And Jesus pulled these little children to him and said, these are the greatest in the kingdom. And what he was referring to is you must become as a little child. And you know what really got me? This little child, Micros, means you have to literally see yourself being born all over again. Means you have to have. The greatest one in the kingdom of heaven is the ones who realize they're starting life fresh. Starting it all over again. And he goes on to say that this love has compelled us to understand. It has gotten a hold of us in such a way that it gives us to understand that because if one died for all, then we've all died. Then he goes on to say, and he died for all, that they which live should not live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. I'm going to read it to you out of the Greek, this verse. And he died on behalf of all, in order that the ones living no more may live to themselves, but to the ones on behalf of them, having died and having been raised. In order that the ones living no more may live to themselves, but to the ones on behalf of them, having died and having been raised. But you know what that's called? That's called connectedness. You know, when I gave my heart and life to the Lord Jesus Christ, I never knew that when I knelt at that altar, I went forward and knelt at that altar. I never knew that I surrendered my life. I knew that I surrendered my life to the Lord. But I did not know that in surrendering my life, I also surrendered myself to everyone else that was born of God. You know what's wrong with the American society that we've got today, including Christians? We think too fragmented from each other. We don't think example. We don't think that our life is an example as to how somebody else reflects back on our walk with God. Do you know why 1 John is such a powerful book? Because it lets you know that everything that you are as a believer is for His name's sake. It's for His name's sake. And I got news for you. Believers today can act and say and do whatever they want as long as there's no connectedness with somebody else. They're on their own. They're responsible for themselves. And they're not responsible for anybody else. And they don't realize the danger that fosters that kind of thinking. There's a danger to that kind of thinking. What I'm sharing with you, hey, the reality of this hit me only 4.5 years ago. The connecting to the reality of this forgiveness thing. I like what one brother said. He said there is not one birth certificate ever given to anybody that with the terms of fairness of life stamped on it. Nobody has gone. I mean, I went back and looked at my birth certificate. It don't say fairness of life stamped on it. Not one of us that were born in this natural world were ever born into this world with a guarantee that we're going to have fairness of life. Life is going to stink because we're living in a fallen system. The God of this world is over this fallen system. The only escape we have is being a citizen of heaven. As a citizen of heaven operating in this world as an ambassador. That gives us privilege of another world, not the privilege of this world, the privilege that the other world has to offer. And yet we seem to think we can function in this world by living unto ourselves. And you can't do that. Everything that you are with your children, with your relatives, with your family, with your church, everything that you are spells testimony. Everything that you are spells testimony. We don't think for others. We think only for ourselves. And when the Spirit of God gets into your heart and begins to change your life, you don't think for yourself. You start thinking for other people because that's the Spirit of Christ. Because he says that right off, right here in these verses, he says right off that you should not live unto yourself. Forgiveness means to release something. It's an aggressive force. Forgiveness cannot be obtained unless we take action to do so. Forgiveness is an aggressive force. It is not something that sits back and waits till somebody else forgives first. It means to release, as from bondage, imprisonment, a cancellation of an obligation, a releasing from punishment. It's a setting free. Forgiveness with each other has a direct link in the Bible with our relationship with the Father and His Son, Jesus. The reason a lot of Christians do not escape death is because they have not given themselves to other people. They think they can be tight with God, not with people. You cannot be tight with God and not be tight with people. You have to be just as tight with people as you are with God, because God says, if you're going to be tight with me, you're going to be tight with them. Because that's the Spirit of Christ working in our heart. Everybody, I think it was Bob, you said everybody is wired differently. Well, that's true. Everybody's wired differently. But thank God for the Word of God, because we're to be wired in one mind, in one thought, in one purpose. We need to get connected up. I thought it was very interesting. He said that he took note that all these non-sinning believers are no longer connected to churches because they could not handle the sin that others were committing. Boy, how deceived. I'd like to know how many of them are still alive. Because you cannot abuse the body of Christ and think you're going to get away with it. Now notice what he says. This word live here is the Greek word zeo. It means how one spends the rest of his life. And he died for all, that they which spend the rest of their life should not henceforth spend the rest of their life unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. Wherefore, henceforth, know we no man after the flesh, yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now, henceforth, know we him no more. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new. This new creation means the original formation, restored to the original spiritual state that Adam and Eve were in before the fall. You and I have the Spirit of Christ dwelling in us. And God does not allow us to have any room for unforgiveness to live in us. Because if unforgiveness is living in us, then we're not taking the responsibility of living before others. And as a result of that unforgiveness living in us, we might think we're in faith, but the reason our faith is not working is because it's not so much that we have the absence of the ability of faith as much as we have the presence of unforgiveness in our life, and that's why our faith is not working. When I was thinking about Debbie Minton and all that she went through, and her mind could not release because of the states of depression. You know, I got news for you people. There's only one person that's going to straighten your thinking out in your heart. And guess what it is? It's not the glory of a ministry. It's not what you're doing for Christ in the natural. It's your ability to have fellowship with the Lord and intimacy working in your life to where you and Jesus draw tight together and He can begin to present Himself before you and not others. Only Jesus can change your heart. Only Jesus can change the way you think. I can preach the Word of God. Others can preach the Word. But the only person that can change you is Jesus. People can't change you. People can't give you peace. The glory of a ministry can't give you peace. You can go to all the conferences you want to and it won't give you peace. You can go to all the seminars. You can go to all the services. And that won't give you peace unless you have a personal fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Because He's the only one that can change your heart. Now, I've tried to go into prayer for God to change somebody else. And it has never worked for me. It's like there's just a wall there. And when I try to reach over that wall to inform the Lord about somebody else or something else, it seems like my hand slapped back because it's none of my business. The only time that I can pray for somebody else is if I come up with a definite answer for them and that I pray the will of God on behalf of them. But I can't go to God and complain about Him. That's when the door closes. And I said, you know, Lord, that's just not fair. And the Lord says, yes, I know, you're so perfect. We laugh about that, but I'll tell you what. God can go a whole distance with us for a long time when He can start working in our heart to change ourselves. And we got to come up to the revelation of that. We have no place in our walk with the Lord being in fear, in frustration, and fret because of somebody else's wrongdoing. Now, I want to clarify something. I want you to turn over to Matthew chapter 5. And I want to clarify something that walking in forgiveness does not mean that we are to be vulnerable from somebody else's irresponsibility. Just because we forgive somebody doesn't mean that what we forgive them for is to be without discernment in our walk with them. How many understand what I'm talking about? In Matthew chapter 5, verse 25, the translator used the word, agree with thine adversary quickly while thou art in the way with him, lest at any time the adversary deliver thee to the judge, and the judge deliver thee to the officer, and thou be cast into prison. Verily I say unto thee, thou shalt by no means come out thence till thou hast paid the uttermost farthing. And who was saying this? Who? Was it Jesus? Yes, he was saying this. Now, the word agree literally is a different Greek word. It literally means to heal your mind. To heal the mind. It means to heal your mind about your adversary. To heal the mind about your adversary. While thou art in the way with him, lest at any time the adversary deliver thee to the judge. Who would the adversary be? You know, we don't realize this. You know how connected we are? That if I do something wrong, we don't think this way. Because when we're one-on-one with Christ, it's a one-on-one thing. But when our testimony is external, then it's everybody. But if it's internal, it's one-on-one. And only Christ can get in there. But external, everything that we do is with everybody. I can't sin on my own without affecting everybody else. I thought it was very funny. I had to quit going to church with them other sinners because I have arrived to no sin. That's what you call really deceived. That's the way the adversary works. He gets you to try and separate yourself from the body of Christ. Why? Because you can see everybody else's faults but your own. Now, he says here, heal your mind towards thine adversary quickly while thou art in the way with him. Well, the adversary that you're in the way with is somebody that has trespassed your life, or maybe you've trespassed theirs, I don't know. But there's a trespassing here. And he says, lest at any time the adversary deliver thee to the judge. You know what the Satan is called? He's called the accuser of your brethren. You know that word accuser means categorious. It literally means he categorizes you with none other than just the rest of the world. You have lost a legal position to escape. And if you don't do something about it, you know what's going to happen? You're vulnerable to whatever he has to offer next. And Christians don't realize this. How important is it for you to forgive something, but not in stupidity? I believe in forgiving something in discernment. And I've learned that my love will grow more and more, predicated on the fact of my ability to have discernment working within my life. We find that in Philippians 1:9, that your love may grow more and more in judgment. That is a Greek word, discernment. So, for an example, If I've come into conflict with somebody, and conflict will surely come, I don't care who it is, and the easiest conflict comes today is your own household. Jesus said it. Your own enemies will be in your own household. And so the enemy likes to do, he likes to get you to a place where you sever yourself from the body of Christ and become an individual, so he can categorize you in such a way that he can take you out. Eventually take you out. Take your life. Through sickness, disease, whatever. Because you have no legal position with God. Because you've done something the Lord does not like. Saul! Saul! Why are you persecuting me? Saul was persecuting the church. Jesus didn't look at it like that. He said, no, you're persecuting me. You're dealing with me. We don't think that way because we don't think connected with people. You ought to put your hand on the one next to you. Everybody, put the hand on the one next to you and say, yes, I am my brother's keeper. I am my brother's keeper. Today, me being with you shows my faithfulness to you. Say that to him. That's right. That's right. Now, what about discernment? Well, you know something? I can let a person go in forgiveness. I can release them from a personal trespass. I can let it go. Are you following me? But I will not get involved again with them in a specific area that created the trespassing, because then I foster ill emotions and feelings again. I bring them up again. So what I try to do is separate myself in such a manner as to not keep the conflict going, but to eventually bring it back together again. Are you following me? Because the thing that will divide you is the very thing that will also bring you back together, and that is the Word of God. Because Jesus said, "Think not that I've come to bring the family together, but mother will be against daughter, daughter will be against mother-in-law," which is understandable, and mother-in-law will be... Well, Jesus, the word division there literally is a Greek word to have a difference of opinion. To have a difference of opinion. Where another Greek word for division is schism, a rending or tearing away. That is the word that Paul uses against the Corinthians over in chapter 1. He says, I'm amazed that you're renting or tearing yourself away from each other when you're one body in Christ. Is Christ divided? Is he torn away because somebody else had a difference of opinion? But I'm going to tell you something. When you submit yourself to the Lord, and the Lord begins to build himself in you, that division or that differences of opinion can be in your own household. Now, I've seen men and women end up getting a divorce because they could not settle what was going on in the home. And this is the most frustrating thing, whether it's in a marital home or whether it's in the church or wherever it is. One thing that we do not want to come to is division or complete division. Because if you come to a complete division, then you play it over into the hands of the adversary somewhere. Because two wrongs don't make a right, and one right and one wrong don't bring a healing. I thought it was very interesting. Joshua, he's now commander in chief. He's got to take this second generation into the promised land. The first generation wasn't capable of. And his first orders came from an angel with a sword drawn. And Joshua comes up on the hill, meets this guy. He says, "Whose side are you on?" And of course, that was the angel of the Lord. And he says, "I'm on the side of truth." He didn't say I was on, "Well, I'm not on your side, I'm on that city's side." Because Joshua would have given it up right there. But no, he said, "I'm on the side of truth." And Joshua had to follow that truth at all costs. We have to follow the truth of God's word at all costs, or it'll cost us something. He says what it'll do. He says, if you don't do this, he says, you will pay the uttermost farthing. It'll cost us. Walking with our brothers and sisters improperly will cost us. It'll cost us our life. Now, turn over to 1 John chapter 5. What time is it getting? It's quitting time. 1 John chapter 5, what I was trying to say the other night is I understood now the sin that is not unto death versus the sin unto death. And I understood it in light of the chapter. And people, the book of 1 John has one theme. One theme and one theme only. The theme is fellowship. Koinonia. And to support that theme in the book of 1 John It says that there is an inner anointing that assists that fellowship. In other words, if we're going to have to understand koinonia, Rick and I, if we have to understand koinonia, there's only one way that Rick and I can be guaranteed to stay connected, to stay in fellowship. And that guarantee is the Holy Ghost. He is the one that can guarantee us remaining connected. How many got that? And so, thank God that that inner anointing is there. Because Rick and I, in the natural, would not make it. We wouldn't make it. The only way that him and I would make it in the natural is if I kept my distance and he kept his. And that if I have any connection with him at all, Rick, probably be in a business deal, and I would have to make sure that I fulfill my part, and he would have to make sure he fulfilled his part, then we could possibly make it. But if we get too connected and start to fellowshipping, then we start seeing the downside as well as the upside, and all of us have a downside as well as the upside. I don't care who we are, and I don't care how righteous you think you are. You have a downside that only Jesus can change, not man. But men, with your downside, inherit offenses. Now, in chapter 5 here, he tells us right off, whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone that loveth him that begot, or that is begotten of God, loveth him also that is begotten of him. Connectedness with each other. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. It is not a grievous thing to love somebody else that is also begotten of God as you are. Well, what was said before we got to this verse? Verse 20 of the next chapter says, if any man say, I love God and hateth his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? And he's literally telling you the truth. If you have a problem with your brother that you do see, you got a problem with God whom you can't see. And you might not think you do, but you do. Why? It shows up in your walk with your brother. It shows up in your walk with your husband. It shows up in your walk with your wife. It shows up in walk with your relatives. It shows up in your walk with your children. It shows up in your walk with your church. It shows up in your walk with your church responsibility, your home responsibility, your work responsibility. Are you following what I'm saying? Your responsibilities will show up in your relationship with your Heavenly Father. Amen. It goes without question. And if you say that you're tight with God and you're not with your brother or sister, then I got news for you. You are a liar. Some people said, well, I know that I'm right with my brother. And I've done it with myself. I'm just as guilty as this. I've said, yes, I'm right with my brother. And behind their back, I go and make negative confessions about them. I don't anymore. I stopped. Now, I've gone to a step further that God has taken me. He says, not only do you stop talking negatively about them, you commit that negativity to me for them. He says, "You, if you got anything to say about somebody, you say it to me because it'll stay there." He says, because that'll give me the opportunity to deal back with you and not them. You know, God doesn't mind complaints. Because as long as you're complaining to him, he can change you. But if you start complaining to others about the ones whom you've just had fellowship with, guess what? God will put an end to that real quick if you're listening to the Holy Ghost. If you're listening to the inner witness, because the Holy Spirit will begin to check you right away. Some people sit and pour their heart out how somebody else has done them wrong, and they're trying to vindicate their position. That person does not have the Spirit of Christ working in him. He has the accuser at work within his heart. He has the devil working in it. You can destroy people and you can destroy relationships if you don't have the mind of God at work in your heart. Because people are validated by what you say to them, even though they reject you. Aaron, Hank Aaron, I guess the professional batter, the first one to beat George or Babe Ruth home run hitting. One of the coaches told him, "You'll never amount to nothing. You ought to give up baseball." You know what was burning in his heart? You know what was burning in his heart? To succeed in baseball. You know what the problem with us? We don't want to succeed with God. We want to be tight with God, but we don't want to be with the responsibility of people. You will not succeed in life. Everything will burn down around you, and you're sitting there, and you'll even call God on your side while everything's burning to the ground. You know what God told me? He says, don't even listen to them when they start tearing somebody else down and you know that they are in error. Don't even listen to them, because what you do is you give them an opportunity to let it come out of their mouth, and you become the garbage can they can dump into. Just shut it down and say, well, you know something? Let's pray about it. Boy, when you start that, people won't dump in you. Why? Because they know when they come to dump on you, you're going to cause them to go to God with it. Well, let's pray. Let's let God do something about it. God just recently told me, because my position as a pastor, people are my commodity. He said, if you have to deal with negative issues with people, he says, make sure that you're communicating it to the proper people, for the proper reason, because you have to work with people for a concluding or a good conclusion to it. Now notice what he says here in chapter 5, verse 4. He says, for whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, our faith. Now he goes down to these verses here that the translators really messed up. But in verse 6, he says, this is he that came by water and blood, Jesus Christ, not by water only, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit that beareth witness, because the Spirit is truth. Now, my translation says, for there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. And these three are in the one. There are no real legitimate translations that existed before the Dark Ages that validate this particular passage. Actually, the original text says, because three there are, the ones bearing witness, and the Spirit, these are the ones bearing witness, and the water and the blood, and the three are in the one. This is where he was trying to come across of the writer, letting us know that there are three that bear witness, that are bearing witness, the Holy Spirit and the birthing canal and the blood. That's where the life comes from. So he was telling you that if the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth in you, then what more value would you have than the one who conceived in the womb of Mary to bring forth the Son? And if the Holy Spirit's involved in bringing forth the Son, wouldn't he be a better witness to follow than the witness of men? Do you know what he means here when he says, if we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater? For this is the witness of God. This word for the witness of men, literally, the word witness is where we get martyr. If we receive the martyrism of men, the witness or the martyr of God is greater. For this is the witness of God, martyr of God. Meaning, what is put to death? What brings death? If we receive the witness of men that bring death, then what brings death in us through the witness of the Spirit is far greater than what brings death in us that's found in men. That would be a better way of translating that. So what it means, what he's saying here, in light of the whole book of 1 John, which is the book of communion or fellowship or koinonia, predicated on an inward anointing, he's saying that if God is at work within your heart in the form of the Holy Spirit, he's going to unite you, not separate you. He is going to unite you, not separate you. You might be separated for a season, but he's the one that's going to bring you back together. Why? Because the inner witness brings healing. Amen? But if you grab a hold of the witness of men and let that witness undo you, let the witness of men tear you apart from people, then guess what? You'll not get healed. And so when I was going on, and he comes down to this thing, he says, that if any man see his brother sin a sin which is not unto death, he shall ask, and he shall give him life for them that sin not unto death. There is a sin unto death. I do not say that he shall pray for it. All unrighteousness is sin, and there is a sin not unto death. And I said, well, what is a sin unto death? And the Lord spoke to me and said, the sin unto death is where a believer no longer goes with the inner witness of the Holy Spirit to heal something. He rejects that inner witness and goes with the witness of men that he wants to cling on to. He wants to stay in unforgiveness or whatever that witness is bringing. He takes that witness over the inner witness. Then God can't do anything to help forgive him his trespasses. People, you have to forgive people. You have to understand authority. And if you don't understand authority, you don't understand the Word of God, because the Word of God is God's authority. If you can't receive Him whom you have seen, how are you going to receive Him who you haven't seen? They're one and the same. I hate to say we have to put up with each other in spite of each other. But that's what I'm saying. 1 John 1:7, but if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with each other. It's what it says in the Greek. It doesn't say with one another. It says with each other. And the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. And you know what forgiveness is? It finally dawned on me what that word means. It means that when we learn to forgive somebody, we bring the protection on us. We bring the freedom on us. We bring the security on us. Not them. On us. We set ourselves free. Glory to God. And I found out if I continue in unforgiveness with anybody, then I'm bringing judgment back on myself, because forgiveness is what God's existence is all about. Ephesians chapter 1. Yes, we're running 15 minutes over. My gosh, please forgive me of the time. Turn the clock back. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7. I said 4, right? 7. In whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to His riches, to the riches of His grace. God told me if you understood the grace and mercy that was residing on you, then you would know the grace and mercy that's residing on other people. Now, in 1 John chapter 2, verse 9 and 10, he that saith he is in the light and hateth his brother. You know what this word hateth his brother really is in the Greek? Has ill will in words and conduct. Are you ready for this? It literally means to be lightly angry. You know, you always look at the word hateth. In our time period and how we value the word hate, it has a stronger connotation, does it not? Somebody says, I hate them. And I said to that person, I said, that's a strong word to use. Then they turned to me and said, well, you did say it meant like to be likely angry. And I said, oh, you got out of that one. That's what it literally means. The word hate literally means to be lightly angry. Is in darkness even until now. He that loveth his brother abideth in the light, and there is none occasion of stumbling in him. Christians that are easily offended are babies. And you have to watch how you treat them. Your example has to be, you have to walk on eggshells around them. And you know what? I look at it this way. You get the privilege to do that. Because you can win them. You know what a mature Christian, you know what he's good for? He's good for anything that comes down the pipe. He can take it. Because he knows how to suffer violence, but he can take it by force. He can come out of everything. Weak believers can't come out of much. Now, we're going to stop there. We're going to do one more service on this forgiveness. Is that all right with you guys? And we're going to talk about six things that you need to know about forgiveness that will help you. How you deal with others has a strong bearing on how you're dealt with the Lord. Did you know that when you walk in offenses and unforgiveness, you have no advocate at work in your heart? Number two, Jesus is our example of forgiveness. Number three, forgiveness is a sign of strength, not weakness. And forgiveness is not the condoning, it's all right, of the wrongness that was done. We're going to cover that area. And forgiveness is a decision, not a feeling. And forgiveness has severe consequences. Okay, do you guys get something here today? Amen. You should always look to the good of anyone in your life for promotion. I don't care what condition you've gotten in with them. You do not let fear, distrust grow. All this, you've got to reach back out in your heart for people and begin to trust them again and to remove fear and to walk in love with them and draw them back in. You know, Paul told the Corinthian church what to do with this one guy that wanted to have incest with his father's wife. And Paul says, turn him over to the devil. If he likes that stuff, let him go live with the devil. Well, in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, the guy wants back in the church. And Paul says, you better let him back in. He says, we're not ignorant of Satan's devices. There's two things that we need to understand why Paul said that. Number one is that if you don't forgive people that have done you wrong or done themselves wrong and affected the body of Christ, number one, Satan will have a heyday with him. Satan will destroy him. Because one thing that helps a brother who wants back in to restore everything is that he needs protection now from the enemy whom he was turned over to. Or else the enemy will take him out. Are you following me? And number two, if you don't forgive him and let him back in, then you become vulnerable as well. So Satan loves, matter of fact, over there in 1 Peter chapter 5, it says, be careful, for your adversary goes about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Do you know what's before that? Casting all your care on him, for he careth for you. You know what that's referring to? It's referring to leadership abusing the body, and the body abusing leadership. And when you take that care, what you do is you turn it over to the enemy, and he looks to take you out. Did you know that? That's what that's referring to. Leadership taking advantage of the body of Christ. In this case, it was for money. And the body of Christ coming against leadership in the church. And you take that care, and then you divide yourself from the body of Christ. Satan says, I can take him out. Yep. Yeah, he's violated one principle, forgiveness. And that's what the whole essence of your salvation, your redemption, is all predicated on the fact that God forgave every one of us, all of us. In spite of us. There ain't one of you here that is not a new creature in Christ Jesus unless you're not born again. And at the end of this service, which is right now, I want you to come up here and I want you to get saved. Because if you're not saved, that's a bad place to be. That's all I got to say. Stand up, everybody. Hallelujah. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for the Word of God. And Father, they have forgiven me for going over. And so, Father, today, as we close this service, if there be anybody that wants to receive Jesus, Father, that wants to become a citizen of heaven, wants to get born from above, wants to start their life afresh. And Father, we're living in a world that needs freshness to their life. And so, Father, if they want freshness to their life, if they want to get connected, Father, this morning we want to pray for them. So if you're here and you want to receive Jesus as Savior, then we want to open it up for you to receive Him as Savior. If you're here this morning and you have been in a state of unforgiveness, you might be in a vulnerable position right now for the adversary to do as he wants to do with your life, because you have no legal standing with the Lord. Because He said, if you don't forgive them their trespasses, neither will your heavenly Father forgive you yours. You stand too vulnerable. You need to deal with that thing today. And don't be ashamed. Confess yourself before men. It doesn't matter. It matters that you get your heart right with the Lord today. We want to pray with you. And if you've never been filled with the Holy Ghost, we want to lay hands on you. And we want to hear you speak in tongues so that you're baptized in the Holy Spirit. So with that said, every head bowed, please step out and come forward. Anybody? Please.